Morning, councillors. So we might declare the meeting open at 9:34 and start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet. I'd also like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present. Just a quick rundown on public conduct at meetings. According to our Standing Order Section 32, all members of the public present at a meeting must, not without any prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with the person present, be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at the meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for such period as the chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. I haven't been advised of any leaves of absence, councillors, so we'll go straight to our devotional segment, and it's a great privilege that we can ask member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, Etienne de Vilsem, of Redlands Christian Reformed Church, to lead us in the final brief devotional segment for this term of council. Over to you.
Now it's on. Here we go. Thank you very much, Karen, and thank you, councillors, for having me this morning. I just realised as I was sitting here, I'm in a great spot to have a question answered that I have. There's no better place than this, actually. We have elections coming up, and my question is, do you get fined for not voting in the council elections?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Well, you can.
I've learnt last time in the state elections that I got done. I forgot to vote, so I'll be sure to make sure that I...
It will be the decision of the next council if they decide to fine you or not.
Okay, they should fine me, rightly.
If you don't vote.
Okay, great. What I would like to do this morning is just read a few words from the Bible, as is probably done usually during these devotions. And this is from an older church leader, the Apostle Paul. He's writing to a younger church leader, and he's kind of instructing him just on how he should pray with regards to a whole range of matters. And then what he says to him is these words from 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a life full of full and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." I'll stop there, and I'll just sort of say that this little passage sort of, I guess, sets up two goals that we can pick. You know, one goal here that Paul says is that the people may come to know Jesus Christ, that they may come to know God, that they may come to know that he's real, that he exists, that he lives. And that's a goal that churches obviously hold to in the Redlands. And it's a goal that not everyone holds to. It's a goal that not everyone around this circle holds to. But as far as churches are concerned, we are thankful and we are grateful for a council that has, in its last term, enabled churches to share their message, to present their message freely and unopposedly, and to live up to that goal that we want to portray Jesus Christ, we want to portray God, we want to portray faith and so forth in this area where we live. And so we thank you for that. But then there's another goal that this prayer also upholds, and it's the goal of a quiet, peaceful life and a society that is such. And that's something that we all hold in common. I think it's something that churches hold in common. It's something that you as councillors hold in common. It's something that most, if not all, other religious groups living in the Redlands also hold in common. And I guess this morning, as you have your last meeting, we just want to say thank you again for the ways in which you have strived and laboured and worked in your terms and over the last term to preserve this life in the Redlands. And we as churches are grateful for that. And we continue to pray. Certainly we as a church do, and I'm pretty sure most other Christian churches in the Redlands, that this council will be enabled to continue to preserve that life, a peaceful, quiet life in the Redlands where we live together in harmony and beauty. And so, yeah, with that, I would like to just step into that prayer and pray that for you as councillors, you're going into elections, and I'm sure that is a whole different game for you as well in the coming few weeks. So I want to pray for you as you go through that as well. So let's just close our eyes and pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we as Christians and maybe on behalf of Christian churches in the Redlands, I just want to bring you thanks and our gratitude for this council, for its work, for the way in which it's served the people of the Redlands, and for the life that we can enjoy in this place. Lord, a life that is indeed peaceful, quiet, dignified in every way, certainly most of the time, Lord. We thank you that you've enabled people around this circle with gifts and abilities and skills that they willingly offer to bring that about. Father, I pray for the elections and the work that are coming up. Lord, I pray for those who have much work to do and who may have some apprehension, even anxiety over what's about to happen. Pray that you'll calm that and give them confidence and peace, Lord, if for no other reason than the fact that maybe you're in control and you've got our futures in your hand. I pray for the future of this council and the work that it may go about, that they will continue to labour and strive faithfully, even sacrificially, towards the goal of shaping a place, shaping a Redlands that is peaceful, quiet, dignified in every way. So we lift them up to you, we thank them, and we pray that all churches will continue to rally in prayer and support of the work that is done here. We pray this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Thank you very much.
So the next item is recognition of achievement, and I just thought we might use this segment as our last meeting of this term of council, just to recognise the work that's been done over the last 4 years, and on behalf of councillors that sit around these tables, through the CEO and to all the staff, obviously there's been great achievements and great challenges over the last 4 years, and personally I'd like to thank each and every member of the Redlands City Council team for their contribution to our community, and also take this opportunity because as council goes now off to an election, we know one thing, that it won't be exactly the same council when we come back in 2016 at our next meeting. I'd like to take this opportunity to recognise Councillor Kim Marie Hardman, who's retiring from public life, and thank her for her commitment to the community and her contribution around these chambers, and to each and every one of you as we move forward to the least pleasurable part of our job over the next couple of weeks. I encourage you to operate and remember that you still represent you represent this council, you represent this city, and I hope that we can conduct ourselves in a way that represents truthful behaviour and integrity over the next coming weeks, and hopefully start that new council with those sorts of values in mind. So, Bill, if you wouldn't mind taking back as a group our thanks to each and every individual that's made our job easier, and I'm certainly grateful because, as far as I'm concerned, we've achieved a great deal in a short amount of time. Obviously, there's always work to be done in an organisation of this size, but we leave, well, I think this council leaves, councillors leave this council probably in a slightly better place than when we took on the legacy of Redlands City Council. So from the finances, Deborah, to your team, thank you. Louise, customer service, it's been outstanding, and Brad, who's representing Gary, the work on the ground's been obvious to people, and of course Nick has had the arduous task of making sure government has been at the forefront of everything we do. So to each of the senior managers, Bill, and every single individual that works at Redlands City Council, we say thank you. I haven't been advised of any other recognitions of achievement. Councillor Edwards.
Yes, I'd just like to add to thank Kim for the work she's contributed to Council over the past 4 years. I think it's probably fair to say that she's been a calming influence in this last term, and thank you for the work you've done, and I'm sure all the councillors wish you well in the future, heading off for whatever you choose to do in the future.
Any other items, councillors? I just wanted to make a separate acknowledgement of the team who helped us on the weekend down at Rabbey Bay with the Surf Life Saving Queensland. I don't know if any of you heard the response on ABC 612 on Monday from John Brennan, that the people who visited Rabbey Bay as a result of bad weather, they had to relocate their carnival to our foreshores here, and it was an outstanding response that people didn't realise that Redlands even existed, and it was a jewel in the crown. And so congratulations, it was a big task. I know that the city was buzzing with buses and young people, so on behalf of council, can we please take back to those officers who made it happen and made the whole event so flawless, and I no doubt will reap the rewards of that in the future. So thank you. All right, if there's no further items, we'll move on with the agenda, and the next item is receipt and confirmation of minutes. Councillors, can I have a mover and seconder that we confirm the general meeting minutes of the 17th of February? Moved, Councillor Edwards, seconded, Councillor Bishop. Any items of correctness, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Matters outstanding from minutes of previous general meeting, we have none. So I'll move on to public participation, and I'll just double check. I have been advised that we may have a speaker that would like to address us. Is that right, Mrs. Langridge? Would you like to address us? All right, well, just as you move there, I'll just give you a quick rundown on the process. So I will need a mover and seconder, councillors, that we move into a segment of 15 minutes of public participation to allow members of the public to address council matters of public interest. Moved, Councillor Gleeson, seconded, Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. So just before you speak, Mrs. Langridge, I just wanted to, you may have seen some of the signage around chambers, but in case you haven't, it's Council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject that they wish to speak about. And the information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's administration building and published on Council's website. You just need to know also that this meeting is being recorded in audio-video, and by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Just to give you a quick rundown, without being too technical for you, Mrs. Langridge, we just need you to state your name and suburb or the organisation that you represent and the subject you wish to speak about. We ask you to act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. And as chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each of the applications to speak on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to speak at this local government meeting. So with that, we might just move straight to it. And you may start now, Ms. Langridge, just by stating your name and suburb or the organisation you represent. And
my name is Kerry Langridge. I'm from 28 Danielle Street, Cleveland. We've lived here for 16 years, I think. And for the past 8-plus years, we've had a problem with a leopard tree on our footpath. It is just getting worse and worse. I have contacted council on numerous occasions. I realise in the scheme of things it's a small thing, but to us, it's major. That basket over there is full of leaves. That's just from yesterday. Just yesterday. Every day when it rains, we just have leaves in our gutter. My husband's put baskets on the downpipes. They just come out everywhere. We cannot keep up with it. It's got to stop. That's it. Okay, and it's not only about this tree, it's about other trees. I know people that are older than us. We can't deal with what we've got. Council have to look at their policies and look at each individual case, not on a whole. Every case is individual. That's it. And our damage bill is huge.
Thank you, Mrs. Langridge. And I note that we have officers in the gallery, and once again they'll speak to you, I believe. So, yep, getting the nod. Thank you. Just asking if there's any other speakers in the gallery. Kay, would you like to approach?
Oops. Have to be me.
I think you know the drill, Kay.
Okay, thank you. My name is Kay Murphy, and I'm only going to speak briefly here this morning. Excuse me. I just wanted to thank the council, each and every one that sits around this round table and up the top. Also to the managers and the staff that have been working very hard over the last 4 years. There has been many things put in place yet to come into fruition, but the work that has gone into this in every division is something worth mentioning. So just thank you to each one of you. Good luck in the up-and-coming election. I'm sure if you've done the hard yards in your area, you won't have a problem. To Councillor for Division 3, thank you especially for your service to your division, and good luck for your family, and I hope you enjoy your retirement from Council. Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, Kate. No other members of the public want to address Council? There being none, I'll take a motion, Councillors, that the meeting proceedings resume. Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Just noting that Councillor Beard is absent still. So yeah. Petitions and presentations. I haven't been advised of any, Councillors, so we'll move on to order of business. Is there a motion to alter the order of business this morning? There being none, we'll move on just to your reminder of material personal interest and conflict of interest and your responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a council's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. And councillors, those responsibilities are listed in your agenda. We'll move on to the business of the meeting, and I'll ask Councillor Edwards to present 11.1.1.
Thank you. Item 11.1.1. Review Corporate Policy Guideline Procedures 3066, External Funding of Projects and Activities. I move the officer's recommendation to adopt the policies as written.
So I note that there's a minor amendment. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's included above?
It's only in. Madam Mayor, it's only in the numbering. There was an error.
So as presented, that's been moved. Seconded. Councillor Gleeson, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Just quickly, this new suite of documents will improve Council's external funding activities, ensuring a proactive and consistent approach is taken in accordance with the policy's objective of optimising and maximising external funding resources. Council receives financial assistance payments or grants from the federal and state governments to fund its operations, projects and programs for the benefit of our communities. These external grants are intended to cover a wide range of projects. Grants are categorised as either recurrent or competitive one-off grants. The management and administration of external grants in the Council between 2012 and 2015 were both decentralised across the different business units and groups, and this decentralisation has resulted in inconsistency around quality, process and approaches to the funding body stakeholder management. Now, I've got more to there, but from what I gather from this, these policies are making a more centralised process and a timetabling of it. We did have some discussions yesterday, which Wendy said, does this mean there's going to be a full-time grants officer? But I think this is, from my reading of it, it's just more about policy, not necessarily regarding to position. So that might be a point of clarification.
Madam Mayor, through you, I'll ask our acting CFO to respond around our grants officer.
Thank you for mentioning that again, Councillor Edwards. What I was wanting clarification on is that we previously had a system with the grants. To me, it looked like we were going back to that where we had that one officer. Are we going back to that? Because I want to make sure what was broken to begin with, and that's why we changed it, will also be, you know, fixed up this time, and we're not just going back to the old system.
Through the Chair, thanks for the question. We currently have a funding coordinator. They started with us on the 29th of June 2015, and that's a position that resides within financial services. The position was an 18-month contract, and in the last few weeks I've just extended that through the CEO to get a 12-month extension on that, because we're clearly seeing the cost-benefit reaping through that. It's a level 5 role, so less than $100,000 and bringing millions of dollars for us. So what this suite of reports does is twofold. One, responds to an internal audit where we had feedback from our audit colleagues to say, can we have consistency across the organisation? the financial services team said, no problem at all, we're happy to work with that. So we've got a really comprehensive suite of reports now to support the business through a centralised funding coordinator to really maximise those revenue streams from state and federal government. So certainly nothing was broken, but we're continuously improving, and this is a really good step forward for not only financial services but the organisation as a whole.
So we're going. So to me, we're going back to how we had it, because that worked really well before. I know the amount of money that was coming in through those grants when we had that officer overseeing it. So it's basically that same format.
Through the chair, it's a different role. So we had previously there was a level three officer, and a part of their position description was around supporting the organisation with grants. We now have a full-time funding coordinator.
Great. Yeah, that's
a really good step forward.
Yeah, good. No, that's great. Thank you.
Any other questions? Oh, sorry.
So just through you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Bulgari, you may remember we did actually present this in the budget presentations and in the variations, so that was discussed here in the chambers around the role of that position. So this is the tidying up of it. That's been in place for 18 months, and I think you'll see when you look through the accounts, just that we've exceeded budget. I can't remember the exact number because I don't have it in front of me, but we have exceeded budget by this position, and as our CFO said, the cost benefit far outweighs the thing.
Councillor Bishop.
Thank you very much. Through you, Madam Mayor, I acknowledge that this report puts together some really robust analysis and projections of proposed funding out into future years. So it actually is a great centralised document that is accessible for officers to think through the future requirements, and I certainly wholeheartedly applaud us continuing to look for external funding. I do have some concerns, though, with I actually would like to put forward a option two, being that council requests additional information. The reason being, the consultation on this, although it's been mentioned in the budget as an upcoming item, I think it's very important that councillors are aware of the way that the funding is proposed to be distributed across the organisation. Wholeheartedly support a centralised place for accessing that information, but I'm just concerned that that centralised position could focus around certain aspects of the organisation and not take into account the diverse needs of different departments and different members and aspects of the community. So I would like to see us have more information, and noting under the consultation that the councillors have not had that consultation at this stage. So I just think it would be important, as we are in this caretaker mode, for councillors to be apprised of the potential impacts, benefits, and also some challenges. So that's what I would like to see, and I wholeheartedly support centralising the information so that the flow of information can be accessible. But then how it gets interpreted by different departments with competing needs, I wouldn't want to see centralised around without the diversity of councillors having scrutiny and a guideline and policy to ensure that it's broad and democratic. Just in consultation, hasn't included councillors, I'm noting.
Well, look, I'll just repeat what the CEO said. This was discussed in our budget review. This is exactly what you're asking for, is the scrutiny and the structure around it. I note that Deborah Corbett Hall will respond to that, but basically what my understanding is that this is about what funds are available out there and how we can make them work in any department in council, but I'll hand over to Deborah Corbett Hall.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through the chair, councillor, the role is a coordinator, so my understanding is the businesses are still responsible for sourcing their own revenue streams. The managers within different groups and departments across the organisation still are responsible for getting those funds. What financial services is providing is a coordinator to drive consistency, really seek a bigger piece of the pie. So financial services and the funding coordinator explicitly doesn't determine where the money goes. It's a supporting role to ensure whatever money we're trying to seek to really shift the burden from the ratepayer to get extra money from state and federal departments will then benefit the community as a whole. So each individual area, as we know, we have a portfolio management office, so when we're putting projects and programs through, we're looking to really increase those funding streams. And the funding coordinator is some people colloquially term it as a grant writer, so they're very much sourcing those funds as opposed to determining where the monies are used across the organisation.
Madam Minister, Council Bishop, just a way of clarification as well, we have no discretion once we receive a grant. It is very much around if it's for roads, it has to be for roads, has to be remitted off for that, if it's for marine infrastructure, if it's for the arts or wherever. And that is usually, again, we are applying for these grants. The grants have set terms and conditions. There is no discretion, if you like, as to how we spend that money. So the grants, and we scan all the areas right from the arts to community. Predominantly our stuff is around infrastructure and those type of things from a pure monetary sense, so the black spot roads and all those type of things is where we do it. So we don't have discretion, and nor will you as a councillor, other than to say no, you don't want the money. So again, it's very much, and it is a very onerous task. This isn't your grants, so this is about our external funding coming into the organisation, typically through state and federal and also through the RDA. Areas that's around for the Logan Redlands.
Yeah, thank you. I fully appreciate that. From an administrative perspective, the sourcing of extra funds is critical, essential. It's the feedback to the councillors as the arbiters and collective decision makers about strategic focus that if it stays under the previously mentioned portfolio structure, I believe has some constraints in terms of the full representative group in terms of the flow of information. That's what concerns me. I beg your pardon?
Councillor, I think you're confusing portfolios with...
No, I'll make it, if I can be clear...
Excuse me, just 1 minute, Councillor. Portfolio Management Office is just... I think you might be confusing that with what the structure is to manage our capital works, etc., across the organisation.
Making that's my point.
Centralised. Thank you. Portal. Just 1 minute. Thank you. As I just respond.
Sure.
I think it's really important to note that the strategic direction of this organisation will be set by each and every council, as each and every 4 years, and that strategic direction will feed through each of the departments, and they will actually decide how they fund things according to those priorities. So councils have the overall strategic opportunity at that point.
Yeah.
It's not at middle of that process that you then want to go back and ask to reset priorities just based on what councillors' whims might be at that point in time.
No, it's not about council whims, excuse me. It's really about having a robust representation from the full body of councillors rather than through the portfolio system, which is a delegation.
Councillor, I'm going to end that there because it's very misleading.
Yeah, this is my concern about the centralisation of a role here.
Let's get the
under
record
the current
correct.
System and the way that the democracy process has changed.
No, it hasn't changed, Councillor.
It has through delegation, my concern.
Councillor, you are.
And in this policy, I'd like to see a link back, and so that councillors can be aware of. I'm being debated, and I'm justifying my.
Have you got a point of order, Councillor Tolte? Just to make sure the record is correct, I might ask our General Manager of Organisational Services to once again explain the portfolio system that Councillor Bishop has referred to, just so that the record is correct, and then we'll move on with what is a standard housekeeping procedure of putting a policy guideline around what is an existing practice and has been for a long time in this organisation.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The portfolio system ends with the end of the term of this council. It'll be up to the new council to decide how it wishes to manage things. The council has appointed a number of councillors to be portfolio leaders. That does not provide them with any increased power in terms of decision making, nor does it give them any increased access to information. That's very clear. There are also responsibilities that those portfolio leaders have had
which is to keep all of their colleagues informed of anything that any important information within those portfolios that comes to their attention that should be shared. I don't know, Madam Mayor, whether you need me to elaborate any further.
That's fine. I might just ask Deborah Corbett Hall if she would just once again explain what the Portfolio Management Office is in case Councillor Bishop has got those two items confused. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So my understanding of our PMO that we've recently resourced and gone through a thorough review of is to be a gatekeeper and a conduit between the organisation and the strategy. So the financial strategy, in consultation with our councillors, will set a direction and a policy position on our risk appetite for interest, revenue streams, debt funding, etc., etc. And then the organisation, through its asset service management plans, so the asset and service management plans will drive whether we build new infrastructure, whether we renew our existing infrastructure. Those projects then go through the PMO, and the PMO Portfolio Management Office act really as a gatekeeper, and they look at a prioritisation model to ensure that, one, we're adhering with our policies, for example, our capital works prioritisation policy, to ensure that we're renewing first before building new infrastructure, and also our debt policy, our revenue policy, investment policy, reserves policy, etc., etc. So my understanding of the PMO is very much as a gatekeeper to work with not only the business areas and the managers who are responsible for their budgets, responsible for their assets, and also to work very closely with myself and the financial services team to ensure whatever we are going to put to you as a council for your decision and for your resolution is financially sustainable.
Thank you. No, Councillor Bishop, I think
excuse
it's been explained.
Excuse me, if
no,
I may.
No, Councillor, I'm ruling. I'm going to...
Well, there's been a few points raised, so I'd just like to...
No, Councillor, you can take them outside with the officers. It's been explained very clearly. This is a policy guideline that helps us attract funding from other levels of government and make sure that there is a structure in place to do so. We've got a centralised point to make sure there's no conflicts within the organisation and it's done adequately. So unless there's any other speakers, I'm going to hand back to Councillor Edwards. Councillor Edwards?
I've got nothing further to add, and I support the officer's recommendation.
So, councillors, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Councillor Bishop has voted against. Councillor Edwards, 11.1.2.
Thank you. 11.1.2, February 2016, monthly financial update. I move the officer's recommendation that council resolve to note the anticipated financial position, results and ratios for February 2016.
So moved by Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Gleeson. Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to it?
This is kind of a funny one. This is a report to say we haven't got a report. And it's really being done because we have our monthly reports that come to us each month, but the timing of this meeting just doesn't fit. So it's just more or less advising that next month, April, new council, we'll have two monthly financial reports.
Any other questions, councillors? I'm just wondering, Councillor Ogilvie, if there's any questions you'd like to ask about the finances this morning, as you've obviously had some concerns that have been articulated in the local paper. Would you like to ask those questions to the officers and have them on record? I just wanted to make sure that the record is correct, Councillor. If you have no other questions, I'll go to Councillor Bishop.
Why, thank you. Would you like me to ask me anything in particular?
Councillor?
No,
have
I was just putting my hand up.
You had a question? Because your time is starting now. Councillor?
That's all.
Oh, no, you put your hand up, I thought, Councillor.
To support?
To support what, Councillor?
I didn't expect you were going to ask that question of Craig.
I haven't asked for the vote. Thank you.
That's all I wanted to do.
Right, thank you. Councillor, is there any other questions?
Madam Chair, I will ask a question if that's okay. What is our current net debt position roughly in dollars?
Through the chair, just bear with me, Councillor, and I'm happy to pull it up for you. So the net debt definition that we use here at Redlands is cash balances minus the debt. So as at the end of January, we have a cash position of $134 million, and we have a debt position of $53 million. So 134 minus the 53
would take us to about $60 million, which gives us 81, gives us enough coverage for, what is it, about 4 months?
Cash in excess of debt.
For about 4 months. So if we were to make a loan to the state government of what, several hundred million dollars to fix up their roads. Yeah, where would we get the money for? Where would we get the money?
So
Sorry, you didn't interrupt me now.
No, Councillor, you had an opportunity to ask about market-led proposals last year. This is about the financial reports. I'm happy to have the CEO
respond. You've invited questions. You know, you're
Councillors, I invited questions on the finances of the organisation, well, Councillor, not policy
goes
position.
Goes right to the heart of the finances,
okay, well, Councillor,
Madam Chair. Where would we get the money to lend to the state government?
There's been no decision to do that. Councillor, I'll hand over to the CEO.
Councillor, I will... Sorry, with respect, I'll point you to our financial strategy, which has been adopted by the Council, and there is no future borrowings in that. As I updated the Council last thing as well, and we did to a potential Councillor briefing the other day, there is no proposal to borrow money. Where I think this came from was I made the comment once to some councillors that should we be able to, our financial position would allow us to borrow the amount of money that we would need to, and QTC, which you have sat through the briefings as well, councillors, have said to us that they are encouraging us to borrow money to pay for future infrastructure. So I revert back to our financial strategy, which is endorsed by the council. There is no new borrowings. We are actually paying down our debts, and it's somewhere around year 5 or 6, somewhere in between then, through our 10-year period that we will be debt-free. So there is no new borrowings anticipated. We are not doing that. I have fully briefed the Council on the market-led proposals and what that means, and I also forwarded out a letter from the Minister that was written back to the Mayor encouraging us to continue, and I will state again that we are working with the private sector and the State to try and find and advance projects that will benefit the Redlands with no cost to Redland City Council ratepayers.
Okay, continuing on with my questions, I'll just make the point, market-led proposals means that a business invests in the infrastructure and a business wants a return, they're going to have to get a return either from us paying for it or from people who are using that asset. That's what market-led proposals is, i.e. toll roads, toll bridges, toll tunnels.
Well, councillors, we haven't...
That's what market-led proposals are. So,
Councillor, we haven't got a proposal in front of us. We're just investigating this opportunity
with the state. So let's move back to the finances,
Councillor. Have you got any questions?
I'm going back to our finances, and I'm saying that our finances, there's no magic puddings here. Market-led proposals aren't a magic pudding. Someone ends up paying for it sooner or later. Now, the proposal that has been put in the newspaper is that we're going to lend the money to the state government. Now, you're right, CEO. It hasn't been put to this council. Had it been put to this council, it would have been laughed out of this council because it's crazy. It is one of those...
Council, that's enough.
Councillor, you invited me to ask questions and speak on this matter.
Councillor, I haven't heard a question now.
I'm sorry that you don't want
me to
ask
questions. So you're
making
a statement now. You had an opportunity to ask the questions, which you've asked and you've articulated through other means. You've had your questions answered. I'm going to move back to anyone else that wants to ask a question. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Through you to Deborah, if I may. Deborah, the net debt position from 4 years ago, it's a little bit hazy, but I've got a vague recollection. We were about $65 million in debt, and we had about $85 million in the bank, which put us about $20 million in net debt position. I might be a little bit out, but can you confirm that for me, please?
Through the Chair, I'm happy to put up on the screen. Joyce has just got an email from me, and on the body of the email, we've got a table with our net debt position since 2008-09. Just keep scrolling down, please, Joyce, and it's a little table there, just a little bit further up, Joyce. The table in the middle, the light blue, just a little further up, Joyce. That one there, so that's our debt graph. So happy to talk through the content of this email. So what we've got on the screen there, I know it's very small for you, but we have the net debt position, which we're defining as cash balances minus total debt. So that's our current debt and our non-current debt. So the question back 4 years ago, Council, and in the 2012-2013 year, the debt was in the order of $63 million. Our cash balances were in the order of $83 million. So it's $19.5 million net debt. So cash exceeding our debt. So since 2008-09, that's all I've pulled together this morning due to time constraints, but for the run 2008-09 through to our forecast 15-16 position, we've got net debt in excess of $15 million every year with a forecast at the end of this year of $47 million net debt. So that's cash exceeding our debt by $47 million, which is the far right column on the tiny numbers on the screen in front of you.
Zero net debt plus about $47,000, basically.
Yeah, through the chair. Net debt sometimes has different definitions, so I have to talk to people about what their definition is, but the one we're using here that we used a couple of years ago in 2014 is total cash balances minus total debt, so we're picking up current and non-current debt, and we're seeing that over the period of time our cash balances exceed our debt balances.
Thank you. Councillor Rosen,
So just to confirm, it's 47 million odd net debt position we're in at the moment versus 19.5 million. So over this term of council, the net debt position for Redland City ratepayers have improved by about $27.5 million. That would be right.
Through the chair, council, that's a forecast end of year position as at 30 June.
Forecast.
So yeah, forecast
away,
30 June this year.
That's what we're
just
pretty much tracking for.
That's
so
what we've got in our revised budget.
So in fact, the net position is actually improved as opposed to what was written in today's paper.
Okay, councillors, considering we had no financial report to discuss today, it's been a good debate. Councillor Edwards, I will hand back to you to sum up.
Nothing further, I'd just move the officer's recommendation.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillors. Item 11.1.3, Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. Appointment of directors to Redland Investment Corporation. I move the officer's recommendation to direct Redland Investment Corporation to appoint Luke Wallace as a director of the company.
So moved by Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Elliott. Any discussion, councillors? Any questions? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Beavis.
It's not so much Luke, but the position, isn't it? He just happens to be in that job description. Or is it Luke personally, no matter where he goes in the organisation?
It's Luke personally. It's the same as it's myself, yes.
To 11.2.1, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call councillors' attention to item 11.2.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications, and ask that these be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's in the report.
Any questions, councillors? Question, Councillor Bishop?
Yes, thank you. Through you, Madam Mayor, just a question to the CEO with regards to the very final item, which is in relation to 302 Old Cleveland Road. Just, can we get an update on that? Is that possible at this stage? Coming through at this stage, just to get some clarification.
Yeah, we've got David Jeans here, so I'll ask David to respond.
Great, thank you. 302 Old Cleveland Road being the site of the Willard property or Cotton's property or... thank you.
Good morning, councillors. Thank you, Councillor Bishop, for the question. We gave a preliminary approval for this application. As you might recall, we had an application for a 12-lot subdivision over this property. At that time, it was owned via a private party. Council has negotiated, I believe, the sale of that parcel of land to council. The application process is completely separate to that potential land purchase. The preliminary approval was given because the applicant couldn't demonstrate that they had a lawful point of discharge for stormwater. So we weren't in a position where we could give a development permit to allow the development to proceed. So we've given a preliminary approval only. And the owner, whoever that may be, will still have to address the stormwater issue.
Thank you. I just thought it was clear, important to clear that. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions, councillors? I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. You might as well stay there, David. Unless Kim wants to come up. So that was carried unanimously. I think Councillor Gleeson has left the room and Alan is absent. Item 11.2.3, election period delegations. Councillor Tolte.
Pardon. Please?
Jumping it. Yes. 2.2, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Call Councillor's attention to item 11.2.2. The appeals list is current at the 15th of February 2016 and asks that this be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's just a basic list that everyone's aware of.
Okay. No other questions, councillors? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. And Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Beater absent. Item 11.2.3.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 11.2.3 is the election period delegations. I'll move the officer's recommendation.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
I'll just note that the purpose of the report is to recommend that Council conditionally delegates its powers under the Sustainable Planning Act from the 3rd of March to the 26th of April inclusive to comply with the Integrated Development Assessment System timeframes and ensure continuity within decision-making processes whilst the Council is in election period.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte. Is there any discussion required, Councillors? It's fairly standard. There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Beard is absent. Item 11.2.4. Do we need a presentation, Councillors, on this? So in that case, I'll ask Councillor Tolte to move the officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll move the officer's recommendation for item 11.2.4 on the MCU 013418.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded. Councillor Elliott, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Speaker against, Councillor Boglari.
Thank you. Firstly, I'd like to thank the community. It was due to their passion and determination once they found out that this subdivision was happening in one block into like four. Once they found out it was happening, they really rallied together, and I think it was a really good example of the power of the community. And they didn't go just on emotion. They actually looked through planning reasons. They met with officers, they met together, and they put in really well-written submissions, and I think the community does need to be congratulated and credit given to them for the work that they did. In the same instance, and to balance it, it also has to go to a pat on the back to the developer, because he actually listened and he was at all times extremely cordial to myself when I was talking to him about the residents' concerns, and sometimes this isn't the case. So I'd like to thank the developer for his attitude towards the community and actually listening to the point where he made several adjustments to the development to cater for their concerns. He put in privacy screens as requested, more car parking, and did actually change a little bit of the visual appearance at the front. And he reduced the overall site coverage, which definitely reduced the negative impacts on the street. I have spoken to the residents again in one of our footpath under the tree chats that we've had over the last few months, and they understand that this probably is the best outcome that they will achieve under the guidelines of the current planning scheme. Though, of course, they aren't happy. They do wish to thank the officers, last time I spoke to them, for the communications that they've had with them, and they also wanted to thank the developer for listening to the extent he did. However, it's a really good example of how when planning schemes are drawn up initially or amendments are done to the planning scheme, in another situation, another location in the city, this would be a totally appropriate development. It's a large block, and to have it subdivided or, you know, one into four in another area, I wouldn't hesitate to support it totally. In this instance, though, it's at the end of a very quiet residential cul-de-sac of only six houses who will now come to nine houses. There isn't much room in the cul-de-sac now when the garbage truck comes. There's overhanging trees. It's just got a lovely, peaceful atmosphere. And the residents are still concerned about the impacts on them. Visually, it's like a sore thumb. They're very modest, 20-year-old homes. It's your warm, cosy suburban street. The children play cricket in it, and Australia Day parties are held in it. And there's a real fear with having this extra population and everything put into the street that they're going to lose this character, which they've actually grown to love, and why none of them are moving. One of them's been there, you know, for over 30 years, and she's doing all she can in her old age to stay in that street. So on those grounds of the visual amenity to the street, I will be voting against it, but I just wanted to make sure that the officers and the developer realised how grateful we are, myself as the local councillor and the residents are, for the cooperation that everyone has received throughout this process. It's been extremely cordial, and that is a rarity. So we thank, not on the officer's behalf, but on sometimes when there's a bit of argy-bargy happening, and it's been great. So thank you to everybody for that from the residents.
Speaker 4. Any further discussion, councillors? Would you like to sum up, Councillor Tolte?
I'm happy to put it to the vote. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
So, councillors, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Gleeson, Beard, Tolte, Elliott. Oh, sorry, Beard. Sorry. Sorry. You've been half his age. My apologies. Apologies, David. Let me start again. Councillor Bishop, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Harbin, Councillor Ogilvie, Councillor Williams, those against, Councillor Boglari. Councillors, there are, next item, there are no mayoral minutes, and I haven't been advised of any notices of motion to repeal or amend, or notices of motion or urgent business without notice. So that then moves us on to our confidential item. Councillors, would you like to move into confidential for this particular discussion, or are you happy to... This is the healthcare referral. It's confidential. It's appeal. Councillors, can I just check? Does anyone want any discussion on this? So, Councillor Elliott, you're happy to move the officer's recommendation? So moved. And seconded by Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. So that takes us to the end of our meeting, I believe. I think, just double check. And once again, if I could thank you all for your participation over this term, and wish you all the best in the coming weeks. Thank you. Meeting closed at 10:25. Thank you.